Grace and peace to you all this morning, and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church, and Happy New Year to you all. Hope you've enjoyed good time of rest and good time with family this past week. I've enjoyed plenty of rest. I haven't had to prepare a sermon this week, which has been great, and so we're excited to welcome the Reverend Julie Jensen back with us. Julie has been a great friend of this congregation in preaching and a member of Cherokee Presbytery, as she was previously associate pastor at First Presbyterian Church in Cartersville, and is looking forward to her new call at First Presbyterian Church in Nineveh, New York. And so we remember in Scripture, get thee to Nineveh, and Julie has answered the call there. It's wonderful to see you and to begin fellowship in a new year. You can see in the front cover of your bulletin some of the things that are happening in the church in the coming weeks. We'll be closed tomorrow, but there's still time to get in your reservations for family night supper on Wednesday. We'll hear Nikki McMillan share some words about what's going on at Cherokee Presbyterian to wish us a happy new year as well. Earlier that day, we will undecorate the church for Christmas, which is very sad, but I'm sure it will be done in a great spirit of festivity. So if you're available on Wednesday morning, please do help. Of course, through worship, please sign the friendship pads if it's near you. Pass them to your neighbor. And if any who are new or visiting would like to leave a prayer request or find out more about our church, you can fill out a Let's Get Acquainted card, which are located in the seat rack in front of you, and place it in the offering plate as it passes by later in worship. Oh, you all heard that. We need men to help on Wednesday, and so we have heavy things to lift, and if you've resolved to exercise in the new year, this is a great way to start. Yeah. It is a joy to be with you all in worship to celebrate all God is doing for us in Jesus Christ. And so with great joy and expectation, let us worship God, and let us begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Please stand for the call to worship. A new day has dawned, a new year begun. O Lord, call us so we may hear your voice. The world turns to hopes and dreams for the future. Lord, keep us in your ways and on your path. We enter this new year with hope and excitement. O Lord, remind us that you lead us. O Lord, guide us as we look to you and worship you. Amen. Let us pray together. God of all time, we praise and adore you for breaking into the darkness of this world with the glorious light of your presence, a light which made your love for the world visible in the babe born in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior, a light which guided those gift-bearing travelers from afar to find and worship the Christ child, a light which leads us to you, now revealed in Jesus Christ. We pray that you will accept our worship as it arises from hearts and minds in awe over the enormity of your gift of pure love to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God in confidence, in humility, and in faith. Let us confess our sins together, first in silence. Let us pray. The coming of Christ was not and is not widely welcomed. Wherever there is epiphany, there will also be darkness, the darkness of old superstitions, of dogmas which refuse to fade away easily, the darkness of pride and the half-truths that have masqueraded as wisdom, the darkness of entrenched evil that hates the light and tries to dispose of it, the darkness of apathy that cannot be bothered to open the shutters. Let us make our confession together. Most holy and most loving God, we admit to you and to each other that we are creatures who either through foolishness or willfulness often choose darkness instead of light. Here and now, we surrender to you our fears and proud opinions, our short-sighted folly and our pompous wisdom, our deep-seated sins, and our apathy towards change and renewal. Please forgive the darkness and pain we have inflicted on others, and restore the light-starved hopes and ideals within our own souls. Trusting your grace, we earnestly pray, create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Friends, Epiphany is good news. The light comes not to sear and blind, but to save us. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. In his name I declare to you, your sins are forgiven. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Now we'd like to invite the children to come forward to join us on the steps for a time together in worship.
How are y'all? It's good to see you. I have a picture to show you, and I want to know if you can tell me what you see. What do you see in this picture? Oops, it's upside down. There we go. What do you see?
Camels.
Camels? What else do we see?
A star.
A star? What do you think this is a picture of? Do you know the story that goes with this picture? That's exactly right, the wise men following the star. When Jesus was getting ready to be born, there was a star in the sky, and the wise men followed the star to the stable where he was, and that's where they found him, and that's where they brought him. Have you heard the story? They bring him the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But you know what? That didn't all happen on Christmas Eve. It happened a little bit later on a special day we call Epiphany. You have mangers at your house? I do too.
Hannah has a Jesus movie.
Yeah?
That's a whole bunch of stories.
With a whole bunch of stories? And I bet this story is one of the ones in there, the story about the wise men following the star. And so we remember that even after Christmas, the wise men were still coming to find Jesus. And that's why here today we still have our Christmas lights on the trees and why we're still singing Christmas carols. Because Christmas is not quite over yet. And the wise men followed the star to find Jesus. Yeah. Your class is not singing Christmas carols? Well, we sang a few in here in church this morning. So we got it covered. I think we're in good shape. So let's have a prayer.
Dear God,
thank you for the star in the sky.
Thank you for the star in the sky.
That the wise men followed.
That the wise men followed.
To find Jesus.
To find Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, and now we say what we say to send you off. And so we are all going to say together as we send the children off, may God be with you there.
May God be with you here.
All right.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Prepare our hearts, O Lord, to hear your word. Silence in us any voice but your own, that hearing good news, we would believe the gospel and obey. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first Scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43. Listen for God's word to you. I am God, and also henceforth I am He. There is no one who can deliver from my hand. I work, and who can hinder it? Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I will send to Babylon and break down all the bars, and the shouting of the Chaldeans will be turned to lamentation. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters. Who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth, do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I will give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Our second lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And I invite you to listen now to the word of the Lord. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord. We will sing the familiar carol in a few minutes. "We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, westward leading, still proceeding, following yonder star." And those words welcome us to Epiphany. Well, not quite Epiphany. We still have a few more days before the 12 days of Christmas are over. But this year, this is when we are marking it in worship. Today is the day we think about stars and wise men. We meet Herod and we are guided by a dream. Epiphany is the day that we celebrate the light of the world as it spreads throughout the world and marvel that the good news was delivered into the world for everyone and that that news eventually did spread to all who would hear it. I find the Epiphany story one that is multi-layered and intriguing, and I love to revisit it time and time again because there are all of these nuances and things that people suppose about or think about or wonder about. Depending on who you ask, the three kings may have only been three, or they may have been a whole tribe of travelers. Those who have studied have said that the wise men were probably more scientists as opposed to theologians. Specifically, they were astrologers who studied the stars and the moons, the sun and planets, and they made predictions based on what they saw. This is different from the scientists that we know today as astronomers, who still study the stars and the moon, and they use physics and chemistry to unlock the secrets of the universe. The wise men in their time were revered for their knowledge. They belonged to a priestly caste called Zoroastrianism, and they paid attention to the heavens as part of their daily work. Belonging to this caste indicates that they weren't Jewish, but were indeed of another faith. And these are the travelers that are directed by God in a quest to find the newborn king. God speaks to them through the bright light of the Christmas star, through the voices of prophets of old, and again in their dreams. Several years ago, I received a nativity set for Christmas from my mother, and it's one of my favorites. We collect them in our family. If you're familiar with the Willow Tree Angels, it's by that same artist. And so each piece looks like it was hand-carved out of wood, and they stand about this tall. And so when I put it out every year, I admire the simple figures, And it's kind of a calming, soothing ritual to put it out to await the birth of Jesus. And when I put it out this year, I really puzzled with where do you put the wise men? The set contains the kings with their crowns and their gifts. There's the Holy Family, and there's a few of the animals in the manger. And so it's easy to know where to put Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And in this one, Jesus doesn't come out of the manger, so he's there even before he's born. And it's easy to kind of put the animals around. You put a goat here and a cow here and a lamb here, and it looks really pretty. But then what do you do with the wise men? Because if I follow what we see in the Gospel of Matthew, then there was no manger. And it was years before the wise men found Mary and Joseph and Jesus. It's possible that Jesus was as old as 2 by the time that the star led them to him. And at that point, they weren't still in Bethlehem being counted for the census, but had moved on to a house. But I found when I unpacked the manger scene that I had a box with a yellow wooden star with a little bit of glitter on it. It's one of those things that, and when my mom redid her Christmas decoration, she didn't want it anymore, so I got it along with other things that she didn't want anymore that I'm still figuring out how to decorate with. But the star got tucked away with that manger, and it's a little bit taller than the figures. So I put it kind of off on one corner of the hutch and put the wise men there. And the wise men were looking at the star rather than the baby. And it completed the nativity scene. What stands out to me in the text for this day is this, that the wise men were what we might call seekers. They sought answers to their deepest questions. They sought knowledge and something to believe in, and God showed them the way. They made their entrance into the story asking Herod where the king was to be found. They tell him that when the child was born, a star was set in the sky, these astrologers, and they knew to come worship the newborn king. But to Herod, this is brand new news. He is terrified at the news of the birth of this child. He knew what the prophet Micah had said, "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." And as the prophets had predicted, the new king has been born, and it is not Herod. Herod was scared for his position, for his power, his lifestyle, his regime, and his rule. He knew that as this light spread in the world, as the baby grew, he would ultimately be a threat to all that Herod held dear. To step inside the mind of Herod is to step inside the mind of someone who is scared. And so Herod's response comes not from a place of awe and wonder and worship, but from a place of fear. He uses the wise men as spies, sending them out to follow the star to the place where Jesus lay, and tells them to return with the information of his exact location. Even though he tells the wise men, "I'm going to go worship the newborn king," Herod, in fact, is planning to kill Jesus, and he ultimately orders the death of every male child under the age of 2 in an attempt to do so. So what drove the wise men to travel so far, to follow the star in the sky where it led? For what did they yearn? What were they missing? This journey wasn't easy, traveling night after night in the dark in a strange country with no idea where you would end or what awaits you when you arrive. Each night, the star's position in the sky called them farther and farther away from what they knew, from what they loved, and from the place they called home. And yet they kept going. They kept following, they kept traveling, until one night when the star did not move anymore. It stopped and shone on the place where the child was. They had arrived. When they entered the house, they saw Mary and Jesus and immediately dropped to their knees and honored him. They offered him the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, these gifts were not the most practical gifts for a toddler,
pretty sure they had to be kept way up high so you couldn't break them, or, you know, gold's heavy, you don't want to drop it on a foot. We don't want to drink the myrrh. Not the most practical gifts for toddlers. But yet, they're items that are significant at the end of Jesus' life. These are the spices to anoint a body after death and prepare him for burial. And I wonder what they thought, these foreign scientists of another religion kneeling before Jesus. This is what Herod was so worried about? Surely we have to be missing something. They all went to bed, and as they slept that night, God had one more word for them. Don't go back to Herod. And so they went home by another road. Images of light and dark are prevalent in the Christmas and Epiphany readings. We hear familiar words of Scripture, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Do y'all have the tradition here on Christmas Eve of passing the light of the candles from one person to the next? Is that something y'all do here? I know in many churches I've been in that is one of the most precious parts of the Christmas Eve service. And we see that light that starts with one or maybe two candles, the Christ candle, and then it grows to three as the ushers receive the light, and then to five. And then as the light is passed from hand to hand and the candles are lit, we watch the light of Christ enter into a dark world. That light shines brighter as we raise our candles heavenward at the end and as we finish the service and carry it out into the world. When word of that light first spread, it spread to a group who had studied the light. They had studied the stars and planets, the moon and the sun, and they heard God's voice calling them to follow it. And that light continues to be spread. The 13th chapter of Matthew is where Jesus shows us that the light of the star continues in us. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The light of the world is telling us that we too are called to be light. The good news that Christ came on Christmas morning was not just for those who were there. It was not just for those who watched the child grow into a toddler, grow into a man. It was not just for those who believed. By sending strangers from a strange land to follow the light, God showed us that the good news of Jesus Christ came for everyone. Everyone could see the star. The wise men were not eventually going to become disciples. The strangers went back home, we suppose, and went back to their lives, and we really don't know what happened to them. But because of this experience, they were different. They had a story to tell. And I wonder if about 30, 31, 32 years later, when they heard the news in their country of the crucifixion and a man claiming to be the Messiah, I wonder if they paused for a moment and thought about that night that they met him and his mother. Did that news then jolt them to belief? We don't know. What we do know is that the light of Christ cannot and will not be contained, and we are called to share it and to bear it. Sharing that light is the work of Christmas. Sometimes we dream of what that call is. Sometimes what God is calling us to do on God's behalf is the work of mystery. We just know. Other times we study closely, we weigh options, and we make what we pray is the best decision with the information we have. What we can learn from the wise men is that the journey may not take us where we first thought we were going. Remember, they thought they were meeting the king in Jerusalem, not starting out a pilgrimage to Bethlehem. We can remember that the road may not be straight or known, but there will be a star to follow. God will guide us as we seek to be the disciples of Christ that we are called to be. So I packed my manger scenes away this week. I'm getting ready to move in a few weeks, and so I didn't feel like I had the luxury of waiting until Epiphany. And as I put each figure back in its proper place, it was wrapped and protected for next year. Christmas is almost over, and we are moving on to the next season of our lives and of our faith. You here will be undecorating on Wednesday. You will be moving on to the next season of your church life. Jesus doesn't stay a baby for long, and in my house this year, the wise men did not get to finish their journey. But as we head back to school and work and regular schedules this week, the words of Howard Thurman come to my mind for us to carry with us. Howard Thurman writes, "When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among brothers, to make music in the heart. We seek Christ. We seek the baby in the manger, and we seek him now. Men and women have looked for him for ages, and we find him again and again. And when we find him, he sets us to work. In Christ, the light of the world was born, and we, as seekers and as followers, are called to be that light to the world and to do the work of Christmas all year. And so may we follow the stars, may we hear the prophets, and may we dream the dreams of God so that we may continue the work of Christ every day. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen." Let us join together in affirming our faith and affirming what we believe with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Friends, as we come forward this morning to make our offerings, we are returning our gifts to God. We are also returning our gifts to God so that they may be used to help us spread the light through the world and to do the work of Christmas. Let us continue our worship with the giving of his tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
My friends, we come to this table in a season of Christmas and in a season of rejoicing in the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is yet the beginning of the story. And we come to the beginning of the story knowing the end, which is what brings us from the manger to the table. And so I invite us all to come with open, rejoicing hearts, to come with open knowledge, to come with the love of Jesus. All who are here are welcome to partake and welcome to participate. Let us pray. May the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Holy God, you created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and called us to love and serve you. When we were unfaithful and turned from your ways, you did not forsake us. Your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and sent prophets to call us back to your way. In the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. In him, your word, dwelling with you from all eternity, became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, and we beheld your glory, Emmanuel. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the celestial choirs and with all the faithful of every time and place who forever sing to the glory of your name. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Born in humility, he came to rule over all. Helpless as an infant, he showed the power of your love. Poor in things of the world, he brought the wealth of your grace. Rejected by many, he welcomed all who sought him. In his dying and rising, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. Called in Christ, fed by his grace, joined in his body, we remember those we have been called to serve. For the poor and the hungry, for the sick and the suffering, for the abused and oppressed, for the doubting and dispirited, for your creation which cries for you, for your church that expects your presence. Hear our prayer, Lord, and as this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Empower us by your Spirit to be joined in Christ's presence in the world, even as he is God with us. Give us courage to speak his truth, to seek his justice, and to love with his love. Through Christ, with Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. So we remember a long time after he left that manger, Jesus was in an upper room with his friends having supper. That night that he was betrayed, that night before he went to the cross. And he looked at his friends and he gave thanks to God and he took the bread and he broke it. And he said to them, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And so then they finished eating and they were still continuing their conversation. And he took the cup and he poured it. And he said to them, "Come and drink, for this cup is the new covenant, which is sealed in my blood for you. Drink of it now and drink of it always, and each time you do, you will remember me." And so every time we come and we eat the bread and we drink the cup, we remember and we proclaim the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These are the gifts of God. They are for all the people of God. Everything is ready, and you are invited to come and to eat.
Thank you.
Let us pray. For the gifts of food, for the gifts of family, for the gifts of friends, we give you thanks, Almighty God. For the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and this meal that we have shared together, we give you thanks. As we have eaten and been fed and been nourished, may we go out and feed and nourish and serve others in the name of the one whom we remember. In Christ's name we pray. We pray together the prayer he taught us, saying in one voice, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The angels proclaimed his birth, the wise men followed the star to find him, and we are now called to continue to carry his light out into the world and to do the work of Christmas. And as you continue that work throughout the year, may you go with the love of God the Father Almighty, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen.